walk through the garden, you better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon, want to sit in that sack. If you walk through Jesus, he'll save your soul. You gotta keep the devil down in the hole. All the angels sing about Jesus' mighty soul. Keep the devil way down in the hole. Way down in the hole. Way down in the hole. Way down in the hole.
Thank you. Get it down, man. Get it down. Get it down.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Today is Friday, TGIF, TGIF. Took a long time coming, but it's here. Whew. If only it was a payday Friday. Well, so some people it is, but for me, it's going to wait another week. Today is Family Friday. You're listening to Baltimore's Talking Live, your host, Dr. Q. And Aaron Green. Say hello, Aaron Green.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Now, before we get into our birthday announcements and shout-outs, you know, I always got to start with monologues. There's this thing amongst friends that we'll have later on in the dream episode about deal-breakers. There's certain type of deal-breakers with friends. I have a certain young lady friend who she wants you to always side with her. But when it comes to me, there's always some type of debate or some transition that has to take place. And I think that's BS. If, I'll give you an example. She's having a relationship issue, and she doesn't want you to comment on it. She just wants you to listen and be there. I say, okay, fine. I'll listen. I won't comment. I won't give no input on it and leave it at that. But if I say something, it's, well, you know, it's blah, blah, blah. You get to give me a lip reading, but you don't want to listen. And it's like that. I don't know if it's everybody or just certain people. Saturday, the conversation was, she was talking about D.L. Hughley. I said, I just saw D.L. Hughley. He had a TV show, and he had the Lady Erica from Mary Mary, where she was talking about how she goes to church and she practices her religion. And I made the comment. I said, well, she said her religion was Baptist. Baptist is not a religion. And if she doesn't know the basics of what's a religion and what's a doctrine of practice or a doctrine of faith, what in the world is she saying about? So you out here misleading people, and you don't have the basis of simple knowledge. She said, yeah, that's true. I said, I wish that Tanya would get that same understanding. That needs no debate. Now, Tanya is a lady who teaches Sunday Bible study at her church. I guess they're friends. So she feels the need to defend her friend. There's nothing to defend, because every day that she does Bible study, her friend ends it by saying, I pray if I did not know what I was saying or said the wrong thing, that the Lord will reveal it to me so I can come back next week with the correction. That simple statement alone says you're taking a guess at what you're telling people, and they're hanging their faith and their beliefs on what you're guessing at, which could be the simplest of life and death. Imagine this, if you will, that you're standing on a ledge with a glass bridge. It's so polished that you don't know if it's there or not. You're telling somebody to step on it because the glass is there. And you, or you hope the glass is there, and they step and fall to their death. Boom. Well, I pray that if I said the wrong thing, that I can come back next week and correct it, and then let y'all know last week I said that the glass was there, and come find out that the glass was missing. I come back next week and I correct it. You know, basically, that's what you're telling people, that you're taking a guess and a gander, and you hope next week, if they haven't died by then, that the glass, that you can correct it so people stop stepping out on the glass. You know, ridiculousness. And so she gets an attitude and says, I call you back. There's no need to call me back, you know. Before she got up, she said, as long as she understands the Bible the way she understands it, it works for her. What are you talking about? And that's my problem with people. It's the same thing with work. It's the same thing with politics. It's the same thing with drugs. It's the same thing with crime. It's the same thing with education. It's the same thing with money. It's the same thing with everything. Everybody is so lazy and so slothful, so effortless, that they choose to sit back and be lazy about it as long as it works for me. And to my understanding, then that's what it works. So I said, okay, is this your understanding, the God of your understanding, or is it the God in the Bible? It's the God of my understanding. It's the God in the Bible. I said, okay, well, because everybody in the world says they practice and believe in the God of their understanding. If you understand, but they don't. Some people think Jesus and God are the same people. Some people think that there is no Jesus. If he don't exist, if there's no J in the Hebrew alphabet, all this foolishness that people say. So I closed out with this. I said, everybody talks about the God of their understanding and that it works for them, and that's all they care about. But it's not in the Bible. Well, some people don't believe like you believe, and they don't know like you know. That don't make them unknowledgeable. If they understand the way that they understand it, that makes it okay. No, it's not. Just like the Bible talks about tattoos. Not to have a tattoo, but people get it. And they'll talk about, well, I believe, you know. Bottom point is this, folks. It doesn't give a rat's tail what you believe and what you think. You got atheists out here who don't believe in God. You got devil worshippers that don't believe in the heaven. You got Jehovah's Witnesses that don't believe in hell. Whether you believe it or not does not change the existence or the fact that you're going to burn an effortless hell, whether you believe or not. Just because you don't believe in death don't mean you're going to live forever. Tell me that. Well, I don't believe in dying. Then what do you do? Well, I don't believe in poverty. Then why are you living in your cardboard box? Your belief is a personal, opinionated thing. It has nothing to do with faith. It has a fact of lack of understanding. That's a fact. A lack of understanding. And it's not my problem what you do and what you don't believe. The Bible is the Bible by itself. It doesn't need your belief to make it real. It does not need your belief to falsify it. Either it is or it's not. You got a lot. And D.L. Hughley said it best. He said he does not believe in the Bible, but he believes in being a Christian. Okay. And I think that's 90% of the world. They don't read the Bible, but they hold on to a faith attributed to the Bible that have no idea what's in it. You got drunks and alcoholics talking about, and people sitting up there saying, yeah, Bible said no such thing. But it sounds good as long as it goes along with my understanding and it works for me. And that's we can find a job like that you can do what you want to do, as long as it works for me. That's all right. You know, and it's okay to be angry. It's okay to get upset because the Bible wasn't written to make everybody laugh, smile, and happy. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of harm. You don't have the right to change it because it doesn't suit you. If it does not suit you, choose another religion. Do you think when people choose to become followers of Islam, that they say, oh, man, I sure wish I could get some bacon and eggs. I'm going to excuse myself today and get some bacon and eggs. No. There not be no Muslim to get caught eating no bacon and eggs. So there not be no Catholic getting caught trying to go to the nightclub. There not be no Jew out there getting caught when the sun go down, trying to play pool at the pool hall. You know, even though I call that superstition, people believe in a faith that they believe. However, they're sticking to their faith. They don't say what works for them. You either follow it or you don't. And that's it. With the announcements, folks, 917-889-8825. By it being Friday, we're going to give you the Friday announcements and the Saturday announcements. Before we go to that, let me let you give an update on the guest, Sinbad. Has said that he will consider it on the show a later time in June. Michael Greco, he will be on June 6th. Larry Jorgensen, June 5th. Of course, we got our graduation announcements June 7th, so there'll be no guests. So, you know, those that'll be first-time listeners, on the graduation day, we read the list of names of the high school graduates, just three schools that we affiliate with. And this year, we'll be talking about middle school that will be graduating, going to their high school. So we'll name the name, the school, and the college they plan to attend. The name, the school, and the high school they plan to attend. So it's just simple. It shouldn't take more than 15 minutes. I think it's just four schools. And if it's over 100 names, which I doubt it, back in the day, it used to be 100 and something names from a whole class graduation. But as the years went on, you're lucky if you get 30 to graduate. Terry Crews, no response. Anderson Cooper, no response. But Sinbad, definitely, because I'd like to hear all about the Apollo, being the host of Apollo, being Walter Oates on A Different World. What is he doing now? He has a family reality show. Everybody's doing family reality shows. I hear it's pretty good, but I don't have a subscription to cable, so I don't really get to see the stuff. But it's all good. They say if you like it, they love it. You got any birthday announcements, Aaron Green?
No, not announcements or birthday announcements. I am excited to hear these guests come over. That's all. Happy graduation to anybody else. I drove over a couple of times and I see a couple of people graduating. So congratulations to everybody else that graduated this month in June.
Yeah, I enjoy graduation. Graduation is always a good thing. We being told to take a break. Okay, it must be a phone call. We'll take a quick break, then we'll come back with the birthday announcements, and then we'll go to the hot seat with our guest, Nikita Smalls. So it sounds like a plan. She's standing by in the listener queue, so we got it from there. So you're listening to Baltimore is Talking Live. We'll be right back in 2 and 2.
Have you ever needed something late at night or needed the finishing touch on a project due tomorrow? The Walmart in your area is always there for you and open 24/7.
I can't count how many times I've been to Walmart after 11 p.m., whether it's to get shampoo or just hang out with friends. No matter what, Walmart always has what I need.
The next time you need something quick, you know where to go. Save money, live better, Walmart.
Here's to choice, to making your voice be heard, to getting exactly what you want, especially when you eat. At Subway restaurants, you choose your freshly baked bread, meat, cheese, and veggies to make a sub that's just right for you. Come in and create yours today. Subway, eat fresh.
So you're open all day, every day.
That's what 24/7 means, sugar.
Kind of like how you get 24/7 access to licensed agents with Geico. Yeah, you just go online, give them a call anytime.
You don't say.
Yep. Now, what will it take to get 24/7 access to that lemon meringue pie?
Pie!
Pie's coming!
That's what it takes, baby.
Geico. Great service from licensed agents. 24/7.
For more funny videos.
Thank you. We're back, folks. So phone lines are open, 917-889-8825. Once again, 917-889-8825. If you got those shout-outs ready for me, let me hear them. Here we go. Oh, wait. First-time calls, make sure you press the number one key to let us know that you have a comment or a question so we can see you on the board. Without pressing the one, we won't know that you're there. All right, now, let me hear it. Here we go. Good birthday to Priscilla Knowles. Kenny McDonald. Samira Washington. Jennifer. Jackie Brown. Saturday. Myra Stewart, Saturday. Jahari Smith, Saturday. Zion Allen. Corey Hunter. Eddie. Sean Henson, Senior. Andre Hall. Shayla Shelby. A lot of perfume, Last but not least, Anthony Gamble. All right. That's finished.
Finish him.
All right. Are you still there, Green?
Yeah, I'm still there. I got the dog. Sorry.
Okay. Our guest today is Nakia Smalls. Everybody ask about Biggie Smalls. I don't think that they're related. But
no.
From her story, she talks about being an overcomer of violence. She talks about being on the other side of doing the right thing. She's a survivor. She had a daughter and a grandson that was killed by the child's father, killed both of them. And it reminds you of something that you would find on television, but it's nothing, no joking matter, nothing to joke about. But now she has moved to Bradenton, Florida. She's an author, a friend, a sister, a mother, a powerful survivor, currently works as an administrator. And her book talks about the sexual escapades, teenage pregnancy, being in high crimes, horrifying murders, drugs, lawlessness. It's just like something from Law and Order. The name of the book is Broken Vessel. It's on sale at Amazon for $25. Let's say $25. And it's a true story. It's got the facts about the author on the back. She currently speaks for women's empowerment groups, group homes, and seminars. And it's like, wow. So they were telling me a moment ago that we'll have to manually call her in. So we'll stand by, folks. It'll go out live because I don't have a screening. What do you call that? A screening poll. So here's Nakia Smalls, folks, ringing. What do you bring?
What do you say?
So what do you bring? Tell us what's okay. New in Baltimore.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Ms. McKee, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Who
is this?
Talking loud. We ready on the air for you if you're ready to go on.
Excuse me?
I say we're ready on the air for you if you're ready to go on.
I can't hear nothing that you're saying.
Wait, 1 second.
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, who is this?
This is Baltimore. It's Talking Live in Baltimore.
Yes, how you doing?
Fantastic. I was saying
okay.
That we have, we're ready for you to go on the air if you're ready to do the show.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm ready. I forgot our time is different. I went to Las Vegas, but I'm ready. I forgot. To me, I thought it was 4 o'clock. It's a 3-hour, 3.5-hour difference.
Okay. Can you tell us from the very beginning, when did everything start, before your daughter was born, before the tragedy, when did the interest in the fast lane and drugs, when did that appeal to you?
I would have to say that started when I was, like I said in my book, is when I was 13 years old. I started getting introduced into different lifestyles and different drugs, different men. And as in my book, I got pregnant at the age of 14, and it pretty much went from there.
Oh, wow. Were you in school at the time? Was it just from random?
Yes. And I was in school. I was in middle school, actually. I was in the seventh grade and met a guy, a grown man, rather, that I had no business being around at that time. But, you know, with no supervision. And back then, you know, you watched yourself a lot. You know, mother was at work. My father was gone. So I got introduced to men very early on.
Oh, wow. Aaron Green there. Go ahead, Aaron Green.
Yes, hello. This is Aaron Green. Miss Nakia.
Yes.
Yes. Why is always girls attracted to bad boys and attracted to the life of drugs? Why is always that?
Well, we like one thing, women, not even just women, men, they're attracted to, you know, things that aren't good for them, you know, things that feel good to them. Nobody likes anything that's boring. So,
you know, and I think that what attracts girls to bad boys, most bad boys are some type of form of protection. They give you this, what you're missing. You're missing something from your father not being around, and you misconstrue that with love. But, you know, anything bad, most bad men know how to sound good, know how to talk good, make you feel good, and make you feel protected. So I think that's more what you're drawn to, for my case anyway. That's what made me, you know, I was a kid, and that set a precedent for me.
Okay, wow. These guys you met when you were younger, are these people still living right now?
Am I still living with them?
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, the guys that you met and dated, are these people are still living?
Yes, sir. They're still living.
Really?
They're 6 to 10 years older than me.
Okay.
Yes, but they're still living.
And yeah, your book is very fascinating. You ever got? I saw on a YouTube channel there is Broken Vessels movie. Well, it's like a mini movie. I forgot who made it. Joanne Wrightgood.
Yeah, that's my publisher.
Okay. Are you getting is a movie anytime soon? Are you going to be in a? Are you booking to be in a movie anytime soon?
Like, yes, it's like, in the works. It's no date set, but yes, it's in the works, in the making.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like something good for Lifetime.
Pretty much it is. It's go on Amazon, you'll get a free sample of 4 chapters of the book, and it actually is. It covers everything. You know, I'm very open. I'm very transparent in the book. I hide nothing. And it just talks about my spiral downfall led up to the death of my daughter and my grandson. So it's very informative, and I think it'll help a lot of people and that it needs to be said.
Well, can you share with us what happened, what started the, what escalated into him killing your daughter and grandson?
Okay, when I was out there, you know, I mean, the CPS, which is the Department of Children and Families, had made false allegations and removed my children from my home. With them removing my children from my home, they placed them into a foster care home where the parents, the parent and the son of the parent of the foster home was already a convicted pedophile. The father had attempted murder charges and a slew of other charges. So at the time, my daughter Diamond, the one that was murdered, she was 16, and she started having relations with the 19-year-old son of the mother of the home. In that time, she ended up falling in love with his name, Larry. His name is Larry Williams. And she ended up falling in love with him, and she ended up getting pregnant at this foster home. I wrote anybody that would listen and try to get my daughter out of that house. I wrote the mayor. I wrote the judge. I wrote anybody that I thought could help me to have them removed. No one would listen. I didn't understand the depth of what I was feeling at that time. But he ended up getting her pregnant. She had the baby on her 18th birthday. On her 18th birthday, he stabbed her. He slit her throat. And he set the house on fire with all both of them alive inside the home.
That Friday, they had been to court, and a support order was made for child support for him to pay. I think it was like $50 a week. That Friday, that Sunday night, he killed her. So I believe that's what escalated it to make him murder her, because now he was in a new relationship. This girl, that girlfriend that he was with, didn't like that he had a child with my daughter, and it was those factors, I believe, played a part in escalating. He was very upset that he was on child support, and it didn't take long for it to manifest. He kept texting her. Demons was taking over him. Demons was telling him to kill her. This all started after the child support order. I think he started planning it then. We are in trial. We're getting ready to go to trial in November, and a lot more of the details will come out then. But from what I gather, that's what it started building up from the time child support.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And you're saying so November 2019?
Yes, sir. The trial will start. It was pushed back. It was supposed to be in June, but his lawyers, he has several lawyers on his case that basically did nothing for his case. And actually, the first time that I saw him after he murdered my daughter, he smiled at me. He sought me out in the crowd, and he smiled at me. He's now trying to play insanity. He's pleading insanity. He's trying to say demons took over him, and he didn't know what was going on. He doesn't have any remorse. He smiles and laughs and thinks it's funny. But yes, the trial will be starting in November, and I'm just waiting to seek justice.
Wow.
That's deep.
Yeah. I got a question for you. It always bugs me about men being punks paying child support. Why are men always being punks paying child support? Why is always such an issue with men not paying child support?
That I couldn't answer. I don't know why it's an issue with men paying child support. I mean, you created a baby. You're supposed to take care of it. So I can't even explain it. He wasn't helping her. He never bought a pamper. So I just don't understand why men don't take care of their responsibility, you know. And sometimes, you know, making a baby don't make you a man or a father, you know. Dogs have babies all the time. So yeah. I mean,
hello.
Yes, I'm here. That's just a question I just can't answer.
Yes. Do you seek help for your loss?
I'm very rooted in church. I can honestly say after she died, I took a real bad fall. You know, I even ended up trying to kill myself and was in Baker Act for a while. But my family was there for me. God showed me some things, you know, and he helped me every day. I'm still healing every day. You know, it's still fresh. It's still raw. But writing this book has helped a lot. My daughter's dream was to help weaker women, you know, domestic violence. That was her dream. And I'm just trying to keep her dream alive and help others and try to continue what she started.
Wow.
So that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, as administrator,
a hard question to answer. But a lot of times I hear when people go through a tragedy such as yours, the mother always comes forward and says she has to forgive him so that she can move on. Is that?
I'll never forgive him.
Okay. Yeah, that's.
I'll never forgive him, and I know what the Bible says, and I hear all of that. All of that. God hasn't gotten me to that point yet. I'll never forgive him for what he did. I still have dreams about my daughter and my grandson, and it's not easy for me. It's not. It's just not. I'm not there yet.
Okay, that's understandable. Go green.
As administrator, you help a lot of women go through abuse.
Yes.
Do you ever have a case when a woman is going through the same thing as you are?
Not to my extent, but yes, all types of abuse, whether it be physical abuse, mental abuse, you know, it's surprisingly, it's a lot of young women, you know, teenagers, and that's where we try to catch it at that age, you know, because they hold a lot of things in, and as our society, when I was growing up, you know, what happened in the home stayed in the home. And so you kept those secrets, and you kept whatever happened to you bottled up inside, and it eats you alive. And I'm trying to help these women and young adults to realize that that's not good. You can't keep that stuff bottled up. So that's my goal, to help women know who they are and to keep, you know, an open line.
Yes, yeah, because you don't want the same thing happen to them. You don't want to repeat the cycle of it going on and repeat it to the point that it will break. You're trying to break the cycle of abuse and hurt, and no one wants to go for that, not even a female.
Right. Right.
No, and it's boys and young men that have been abused as well. I've mentored and I counseled through my sons, their friends. You know, I don't know what it's about me, but I always attracted children, teenagers. They're open and they confide in me always, even before this tragedy happened. I've always tried to mentor, and I've noticed that it's also young men that have been hurt and molested and abused, not only by strangers, but most of the time it's a family member. You know, most of the time there's verbal abuse from the mother, you know, her taking on trying to be the man and the woman of the house. I've learned that when a man is not in the home, the house is out of order. So now if that doesn't mean that God won't equip you to do that job, but it's harder. So it makes the woman harder. So in my book, it goes into great detail. And I know that with my experience alone as being a single mother, that I can bring some type of understanding to these children that can build them up. So it's not just with the little girls. I'm also working with young men as well.
Yes, and abuse has no gender. It also comes in many different facets. My cousin, he's a male. He got abused by a preacher. It's hard these days that you look up to these people, but you don't seem to trust them, and you do such heinous things.
Yes, and I experienced in my ministry with my pastor Paula Cook. You know, it's amazing with these young men and no gender, but it's amazing how. You know, the pain that was within them. They don't understand the rage that was within these kids. They're just broken children that grew up in adult bodies, you know, and they don't have that mental stability because they've been wounded. And it hasn't been fixed. It's just been a Band-Aid put on it. And so I'm learning that, you know, most people that have been, you know, I've learned that most wounds come from somebody that you trusted. Most of the time, you know, it's really not too much that a person from the outside can do to you, except as a kid. But when you get in the teenage and you get in, you know, preteen, it's someone close to you that you trusted, that you confided in, that you thought would protect you. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that hurt you. And that it takes me back to the Bible scripture when Thomas asked Jesus when he came out of the tomb, "Who are you? How did you get those wounds in your hands?" He said, "In the house of my friend." So a lot of the wounds that we receive is in the house of our friends, and it's hard to overcome such a betrayal.
Yes, yes, yes. And with being a minister, do you ever confront the abusers as well?
I have never confronted an abuser except one, and that was the one that abused me.
Mm-hmm.
So That and there was no remorse. There was no remorse from him. And I really can't get into detail because it's so much at the top, but he abused me and another family member. So it gets kind of deep because it's a lot of hurt and it starts early on in the book. And that's when I'm saying that it sets a precedent for your life down the line. So at a young age, I was betrayed. Not only myself, but another family member as well by the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we both confronted that abuser, but there was no remorse, no sorry, no anything. But I know it was for me to heal, and for my family member to heal. So, you know, without giving away the book, you know, it's pretty deep, and I think it's a lot of people that's going to be able to relate to it. And, you know, like I said, it's something that's not talked about in the black community. You hush your mouth, you don't tell anybody, and you deal with it. You know, mm-hmm. just like they're not getting any therapy because it's looked down upon in the black community to seek therapy, to seek help. And that's exactly what they need, whether it be from the pastor or professional therapist. Black people need therapy with everything that happens in our life, you know, and not just black people, but I'm talking about the stigma of not seeking help.
Yes, there's always the stigma of, you know, black people have to be strong and you had to hold things in, but now in today's era, everything's changed.
Exactly.
You know, you need that help. It never hurts to go to therapy. Me and my wife go to therapy too. With our problems and with our problems too as well. And it feels good. At the end of the day, there's nothing to be ashamed of. I think when people have the stigma of help, of therapy, people think that you're crazy. And it's not.
It's not. Exactly. And you know, that's what I feel.
At the phone line, we're going to take this one call. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carly, you're on air for Mr. Keith Smalls.
Hello?
Hello.
My name is Mary Jane. Now I'd like to know the murderer mother. What responsibility did she hold, and why was there? Why was she not accountable for what was going on in her home?
Let me make sure I'm understanding your question. You're asking about the mother of the home that murdered my child.
Right.
Okay, I asked the state attorney the same thing. I felt as though that she needs to be held accountable. She was was her home, and what they told me was that they one stone at a time. So they're basically told me they're going to get the son, and they will come back with charges for the mother, because she's definitely just as responsible.
Right.
She also showed no remorse. She got on live trying to defend her son. And so there's no remorse for her either.
So she knew what was going on in her household.
And that's the thing. She knew before my daughter died, and I have it all recorded. I just record everything because of the situation we were dealing with DCF. I didn't want any surprises, and she told me how she allowed her to sleep in the same bedroom with this grown man. My other children that was there, they also told me, "Mom, Diamond's sleeping in this room with this man." You know, after a while, my daughter stopped speaking to me. She fell in love with him, and I was, at that time, now I'm the troublemaker trying to keep her from who she loved, but I was trying to protect her. She not only that, you know, the first night in this home, they broke my 7-year-old's collarbone. the first night in his home, and the DCF refused to move my children out of his home. The home is deplorable. I have, like I said in my book, it really breaks down a lot of things, and, you know, documentations, pictures, the letters that I sent, you know. It's a lot of people that are held accountable. When she got pregnant, you know, when she got pregnant, I didn't even know. They sent her off the job corps without my knowledge, and I went to court and found out that she was in job corps and that she was pregnant from this guy. And not only that, they had other foster kids in his home, and he had already gotten a 12-year-old pregnant also. So this mother is getting these young ladies into this house, and the son is impregnated.
Okay. Well, thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Green. Back to you.
I think you got three more calls, you say?
They have dropped. I guess they might have had a similar question.
Okay. Speaking about these foster kids, are they out the house?
Yes, they're all out of the home now. They're all out of the home. But I'm trying very hard to push charges for the mother of the home. Because either she hid this information from DCF, which is DCF's job to find, you know, she's married. It's a marriage license. You can see who's in the home, male. You know, I just, you know, if once you read my book and understand that this goes really deep, I got pictures of the home. The home is deplorable. I can't imagine how DCF approved this home.
Wow.
You know, and I also have those pictures in the book as well. I have a where she stated on Facebook when I was trying to get help to get my kids out of this home. She got on there and basically said, yes, this is my home. If you don't like it, call me at such and such number. And, you know, I screenshotted that, and I also submitted all these things to the judge. And all he told them to do was to make a surprise visit. They took my kids in December of 2016. 2 months later, my daughter was pregnant. A year later, they gave her back to me in a body bag.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I'm still hurting. You know, you take these kids and you put them in these homes where they're being molested, they're being raped, they're doing all kind of things to these kids. And, you know, it's just a lot. It's really a lot, and it's hard to go through.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. I don't want to spoil too much in the book. tell me about... God. Dr. Key, you want to ask questions?
I'm definitely interested to know. I heard about the part where you said that you confronted your abuser, but you didn't want to go into detail about it. Is there a message that you can give to other teenage women that are going through the same thing? We had a family friend who, this was in Maryland, I guess maybe 15, 20 years ago. Her daughter, I think she was 15, and the man was probably 30 or 35 years old when she comes home from work. The man was coming out of the house. And unfortunately, because of the laws in our state, they give all of the power to the children and take it from the adults.
Mm-hmm.
So when she called for help, the police told her, so she could no longer beat the child. She can't put the child out. She can't discipline the child. So this behavior kept going, and it left the mother powerless to stop her from seeing people.
Wow. So is your question what advice I have to the mother or to the children?
To the mother that's going through something similar, trying to save their child, and to the child that's
mm-hmm.
going through destructive lifestyle.
My thing is this, because of the laws, you can't stop. You have to keep fighting. You have to keep fighting. You just, nobody's story has to be my story. You know, after a while, I was so angry at my daughter, I stopped. I stopped fighting because she was resisting, and she wanted to do what she wanted to do, and she kept hurting me over and over again when I was trying to save her life. But my biggest regret is that I gave up. You can't give up. I when you don't see a way, you sometimes you don't, but you got to keep trying. You got to keep praying. You have to keep moving. You just can't stand still and watch the world swallow your child whole. You just can't.
And my advice to the children, because they have to trust that their parents, even doesn't feel right, and they think they're in love, and they think the parent is trying to control them. My only advice to you is your parents will not hold anything good from you. Anything that is good, your parent want you to have. So keep in mind that there's still that parent that loves you. There's still the parent that clothed you. There's still the parent that protected you. And if anything was good for you, they would want you to have it. Would not withhold one single thing that was good for you. You have to remember that. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, know the heart of your parent. And that's the only advice I can give to as being that person. I let what I felt was right, that I felt this man was right for me. I didn't remember who my parent was. I didn't remember the love that was given to me. All I remember was I was saying, being told, no, you can't have. He doesn't love you. And you don't want to hear that. But you got to remember that your parent is the one that will pick you up, the one that will fight to the ends of earth for you, and the one that won't hold anything good from you.
The tragedy that happened with your daughter, was that the state of Florida?
Yes, sir.
And in Florida, to my understanding, they had that stand your ground law. Why didn't the stand your ground law prevail in your case?
We're going to keep it real. The justice system is not set up for black people. I'm just going to say it how it is. What's good for them is not good for me. You understand what I'm saying? The same rules that apply for those don't apply for me. And that's just what it was. Mm-hmm. I was poor, black, and a woman. And that's what they saw me as, you know. And it's sad, but it's the truth. The justice system is not for all people.
Okay.
They would have never placed a blind eye on the Caucasian people. The place that they sent my kids, I've never seen nothing like it, and they just placed my kids in there like they were animals, because that's how they live, like animals. They would have never done that to a Caucasian child. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. So going back to the phone lines, got another caller. Go ahead, caller, your name.
Okay. My name is Jean Phillips, and I'm listening to what you're saying. And my question is, why did they take your daughter from you? And you said that the people were telling lies, and what reason would they have to lie on you?
Well, see, that's what gets into my book, and I really don't want to tell too much over here, but I will tell you this, that they made a lot of allegations stating that my home was deplorable, that I didn't have any food, and of course it probably was a family member or somebody that called CPS. I'm not sure to this day who did it, but they did their investigation. And in their investigation, they trusted me for drugs. They came and looked at my home. My drug test came back negative. I have on my report that says my home is not deplorable. I even put that in the book. The whole report's in my book also. That's in there as well. So not only did the caseworker came out and did my drug test and looked at my home and made sure I had electricity, made sure I had water, made sure I had food. She did a very good report. They went to my kid's school 3 days later and removed all my children.
Right.
Mm. And this is not something that I'm just saying. It's in the book. The whole report is in the book. So it's not. This is not nothing that I'm just that I can't prove that they lied on me and took my children. And a lot of people don't believe that they do that. But DCF kidnaps children every day. This is real. Mm-hmm. What happened to me is real.
Right.
You know, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. They've been doing it since slavery. They take and separate our kids. They take our children for anything. This is nothing new. It's just a different way they do it. When you get into the book, you will see that all the allegations were proven false. But I still wasn't giving back my kids. It wasn't until they gave them back to me in a body bag. Now I was fit enough to have my kids back. So, and you'll see the home that they put them in was the one that was deplorable. So it was never about anything being unclean or no food, because you'll see in the book the house that they put them in, a dog shouldn't have been in. So, and I said, I need people. Go ahead, ma'am.
So in your book, you'll tell exactly why the kids were taken away.
Yes, ma'am. You want the book? You can go on my website,
www.nakiasmallsurvived.com.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is me. In your book, I'm looking at your book right now. You got a lot of incriminating evidence. Do you ever take the books to the congressman or the government and say, like, of Florida and say, look, this is what you should have been doing, and try to let them change it?
When I tell you, when you get deeper into my book, you'll see every letter I ever wrote, every congressman, everybody, you name it, there's nobody that I haven't written. There's nobody that I have not written.
Do you ever take the book to them? You ever take the book to them?
Well, I'm just getting it. I'm just getting my book finished, so it's just not being done within the last 2 weeks. So I'm still fighting. I'm fighting, and I'm gonna go to every. Now I'm gonna go to every Congress. I have to go to Supreme Court. I'm not done. My daughter's tragedy will be heard, and the rightful people will pay for what they did. Not just the mother of that home. Not just the father, DCF has to pay also.
Yes.
Because I warned them over and over again something was going to happen, you know. And matter of fact, they just didn't listen. But I'm going to continue to fight.
Yes. Don't stop fighting. I mean, I'm looking at your book right now. You have a lot of evidence. And you should basically just sue the state of Florida for all of this stuff.
Yeah, it's real. It's sad. And then you know the stuff that's I couldn't put everything into the book, but if I could just get one person to listen, I have so much stuff over the years. My kids. This was in 2015. I lost. My daughter was murdered brutally. My grandson was murdered brutally. She was very smart. She wanted to be a civil lawyer. She wanted to help people. Her life was cut short because you decided that I wasn't fit enough to have my children, and you gave her to the wolves. Somebody has to pay for that.
Yeah.
They always say hindsight is 20/20. Do you think, looking back, that if you were not a single parent, if you was a two-parent family, that things would have been different?
You know, I can't say because, you know, my father was in my home with my mom, and it still didn't work out, you know, so I can't say that. I feel like that a two-parent home should make a difference because the father balances it out, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's in the proper way and how it should be, yes, you know, but we all know life happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got 2 minutes left. Can you tell everybody where to find the book? Is the book just sold on the website, or can they go to Amazon also?
They can also go to Amazon, Barnes and Noble. They, you know, it's there. They can, it's there. And if they would like to get it off my website, which tells a little bit more in depth, it's www.nakiya.smallsurvive.com.
Okay. And the one on your website is like uncut, unedited? And
yeah,
on
that's okay. You know, they edit a little bit. You can't, you know. Right. You want the uncut, edited, get it off my page. You know, Amazon not going to post a lot of things and write a lot of things that,
yeah, yeah,
that I would, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
yeah, uncut it, uncut.
And $25, that's correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect.
Also, do you got an Instagram and Twitter, too, as well?
Yes, Broken Vessel.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's very good.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome. And I really want to say you should basically, you know, sue the state of Florida, because in each every state, they're not, the laws need to change. All laws need to change. They're not suitable for
right.
I agree.
Right.
And it's all based on the white people laws, not our people, our people laws. You know.
Right. Exactly. And that's, you know, what happened to me. That wouldn't have happened. They had to shut that whole courthouse down before they let that happen. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I went to the judge. I presented you with everything. I showed you pictures. I gave you police their records. And you just turned it over. He wouldn't even look at it.
Wow.
And all he did was tell DCF to make a surprise visit. I put that in the book as well. That's in there. All those documentations are in the book.
Yeah. Wow. I would encourage everybody to read this book. It's called Broken Vessels by Nikita Smalls. It is chock full information. Nikita Smalls, I'm sorry. Get it anywhere you can find it. Amazon, I just read like little scripts of it, and it's very good, by the way. And please continue to fight. Let your voice be heard. Because
thank you so much.
Need to be loud voice.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for being on.
I'm sorry.
I said it's all pleasure. Thanks for being on.
Okay. Thank you guys. Good night.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Baltimore, we're talking live. Welcome, Nikita Smalls.
Okay. Fantastic. We're going to go ahead and take a break, folks. When we be back, we'll be back with more. Baltimore is talking live. Don't forget, the website for Nikita Smalls' book is NikiaSmallsSurvive.com. And it's the uncut version. That's $25. That's the one I want. I want the thick, uncut director's edition type book with all the details and things that are in it. So we'll be back, folks. Keep it locked where you got it. We'll be back at 2 and 2. You're listening to Baltimore is Talking Live.
Do you get?
Okay, settle down. We're back, folks. You're listening to Baltimore's Talking Live. We just got finished listening to Nakia Small. If you were just tuning in, then you missed the whole thing. It was very interesting, very informative, very educational. It was indeed the emotional roller coaster. And no, she is not related to Biggie Smalls. I'm going to purchase the book. I can't do it right now. I got to wait till payday, but that's definitely on my list. Shout out to the three on hold that hung up. We took the one, and then we took the second. So that's 3 plus 2 is 5. So shout out to the 5 callers that called. I'm sorry we couldn't get to everybody. And please don't hesitate to call us anytime. I know sometimes the show may go a little long and we miss out and can't get to you right away, but be patient. We got you. I think part of the problem is not knowing how the system works by pressing that one key. That one key is important. If you're calling in to ask a question, we're not going to know without you pressing one. It'll just go to the listening key. But if you press one, it will let us know if you have a question or comment. A little hand will pop up, like someone saying, "Stop in the name of love." Stop in the name of love. You know, that little hand will pop up, like somebody got the hand raised, and a question mark. And that lets me know, okay, there's a person there. Number 4, line number 2, line number 3, line number 5. And sometimes multiple things are moving and popping, but we'll get to you. We'll get to you, no problem. Just be patient. Just one person here. Like the guy that says, time to make the donuts. So a new segment that we got coming up in the month of June. We got the Dear Black People and White People. We're keeping that next month. We're also bringing back, by popular demand, the complaint department. This is where you air out your complaints about me, about the show, about the job, anything you want to complain about. Bring your complaints, air them out on the air. And they all end the same way. The Money Mondays with the job announcements, we'll keep that. We'll also be keeping the Ask Dr. Q. We try to fit that in there. Next season, I know right now it's a 90-minute show. Next season, they're talking about cutting it down to an hour, but the poll will go out to you all, the listeners, to decide if you want us to keep 90 minutes and move it later in the day. So instead of being from 7 to 8:30, it'll be from 8 to 9:30. And a lot of people are like, well, I got to be in bed by a certain time. Or if you want to move it up to 6 to 7:30. But a lot of people are still in traffic and can't get to work. But once you get, and it's only going to the, I think it's 65. It's going to the 65 listeners that are registered in the mailing list. And I know it's more than 65 listeners, but only 65 of you have signed up to be part of the mailing list to get these mail outs monthly and every 2 weeks. So you get a total of 3 a month, basically, monthly and then every 2 weeks. Name in my mailbox. Don't forget with what's her name? I keep forgetting her name once I wrote it down on this piece of paper here. Okay. Don't forget with that's wrong with the paper. Kimberly Massey. Here it is. Kimberly Massey. is asking for 30 business owners here in Baltimore. Go to www.getyourmoney911.com. You get $200 off the course price. In addition to that, you're getting two tickets. You're getting two tickets, T-W-O, two tickets to the Bahamas. All expenses paid. It's got to pack your bags and get your transportation to and from the terminal. That's www.getyourmoney911.com. Also coming up before the end of the month, make sure you go to the Universal Circus. I think how the man said it. Universal Circus. When I first went, I said, what is he saying? Because I thought he was cussing, but he was saying circus. But so he's saying something else. But the first show is 7 p.m., May 30th. Just 6 days, folks. We told you this a while ago. If you get them sooner, you get them cheaper. If you wait too late, they get too high. So try to get them early so you can get them cheaper. May 30th at 7 p.m. is the first show of the Universal Circus at Security Square Mall. Go get your tickets at www. You can get them from Ticketmaster, or you can go to ticketscenter.com. That's tickets-center.com. I say hyphen, but people don't know what the hyphen is. But you know the minus is. Tickets-center.com. And just go to the site, Universal, May the 30th, 7 p.m., the first show. And it'll go all the way from May the 30th, and it'll continue to the 16th of June, which is way at 6:30, which is way past school closing. So if you're waiting for a special occasion, what better day to go than here? And it's a great time because it's right after Memorial Day, which is Monday, and you'll be able to go right there on Thursday to the Universal Circus and see what they have to offer. I went a couple of years ago. It's great. They say it gets better and better every year. But I waited to the last minute, and my tickets were expensive. But if you get them now, I guess you can get a reasonable. Because when I checked the site, tickets were between $39 to $69 per person, which was good. When I got my tickets the year I went, they were $85 a pop. And this was at the last show. And I felt kind of cheated because all the shows were like 2 hours long. And when I went to my show, it was roughly maybe 45 minutes or an hour. It wasn't no 2 hour show because I know I sat down and saw a couple of stunts and things, and then it was all over. So I definitely don't want that. I want the same show that they have in the morning. Or the 2 hour show, I would like to have the same benefit. So now it's over to Aaron Green for what's new in Baltimore. Aaron Green.
Yes. Hello, everybody, on this Kobe Posey Family Friday. It's Grab Your Tissues Friday. I got events coming up on the end of May, a Memorial Weekend Music Fest is going to be on Sunday, May 26th at 5:30 at the Auto Bar. Collective Soul is going to be on the Meek U Pavilion on the 31st. And also today, if you can make it, is Ebony Black Men, oh God, it's a strip club. Okay, wrong one. DJ Pancake is going to be on the 26th, on Sunday 26th at the Auto Bar.
You know it's Family Friday and children don't want to go to those trips.
Yeah. I forgot that. When I'm doing my coming events, I look into Facebook and anything else. Big Time with Eddie Roland Park.
Eddie Long.
No, not in Eddie Long. Eddie, Big Town is Eddie. Big Time with Eddie of Roland Park. We're going to be in the Baltimore Improv Group. It's May 31st. And what's going on now? Stamprov Comedy Takeover. I mean, Crossover. It's going to be on May 25th at 8 to 9 at the Baltimore Improv. And that's all what's going on for Baltimore. And man, also
Baltimore Improv.
Let me see. The Baltimore Improv is going to be is at 1727 North Charles Street.
Okay, never seen it before.
I went there once. That was a long time ago.
Is that right there at the Charles Theater, or is that further up past Penn Station?
It's right at the Charles Theater, but yeah, it's right at the Charles Theater. I think. It's been a long time since I've been there. I've been there like twice, 2 years ago, and they were good.
Okay, because if Toby Jerry Seinfeld will be coming to something in Baltimore, but
he's going to the Meyerhoff, the Meyerhoff Symphony.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know he was wearing a wig. All the time I saw him on the Seinfeld show, that was a wig. He was actually bald on top. I said, "What?
Really?"
Yeah, he said that when he was doing the thing with David Letterman. Comedians in Cars or something it's called. And he's really not funny. It's just his delivery makes it funny. Like Chris Rock is not funny. Yeah. I can't stand Chris Rock. But people like him because he looks like a donkey talk. You know, the funniest thing was when they had him talking on Shrek, and they said it was Eddie Murphy. But every time I saw the donkey, I said they got Eddie Murphy's voice, but they got Chris Rock's face. I said, boy, oh boy. I want to hear about that one on Twitter. But yeah, I don't like people. They say everybody loves Chris or everybody hates Chris. I don't like it. Maybe it's got something to do with the movie New Jack City. He played
Pookie.
The crackhead. Yeah, Pookie. Ever since that, I just don't like him.
Wow. Yeah, he's okay. He's here and there.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what's okay? 4?
Five. I mean, he's at the 8. A lukewarm 5. But, you know, sometimes he just basically says what he wants to say. And
you got Chris Rock, Cat Williams, and Kevin Hart. And if somebody says, I'm going to give you some front row seat tickets, which one are you going to go to for front row seat tickets? You want to go see Chris Rock?
No, Kevin Williams. Cat Williams.
Okay.
Much more ghetto. Also, I ain't seen him before. I saw Chris Rock live once, and Kevin Hart. He's a stickler for people going to his shows. I mean, like he kicked out some people for cell phone usage on his show, which is retarded. But yeah. So
did they get their money back when he kicked them out?
No.
Oh, well, I ain't going nowhere.
Use your cell phone, you get kicked out. No money back, whatever. Because
the movie theater, would give you money back if you get kicked out the theater. So what makes him special?
So,
Now AMC It's totally different. If you get kicked out because you filming or something, you going to jail. But if you get kicked out for I mean, not AMC. I meant to say Hoyt Theater. If you go to Hoyt Theater, because Anne Arundel County cops, they don't play that. They be sitting outside the doors just in case so they can take you to the station. And for those that don't know about Anne Arundel County, you never want to get locked up in Anne Arundel County because I have no idea where the jailhouse is. I know it's in Annapolis.
Oh, wow.
Even though you're in Linthicum, that's Anne Arundel County, but they're going to drive you all the way to Annapolis for booking.
It's a long drive.
Long ride and bail, too.
Yeah. The county don't plow.
So don't go to
the county.
It's better if you want to film it, it's better to go pay the guy who works in the projector room just to run you off. Well, I ain't going to say it over the air, but just don't do it. It's piracy.
Yes. I do it now and then. I don't see bootlegs now and then or DVDs now and then. Well, I do sometimes, but why keep doing it? This stuff should be changed.
And don't forget next week, folks, May the 30th. May the 30th, which is a Thursday, you got to go see the premiere of Ma. That's my good old Octavia Spencer, fantastic actress. She's short. somebody asked me a question. They said between Octavia Spencer and Taraji P, who is the better actress? And I said, well, it depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about a person who can play multiple roles, Octavia hands down. If you're talking about a person who's good on delivery, but they only can play one role, then yes, get you Taraji. And it's not her fault. Taraji always plays the villain. She's never played a except for the one where she had a child kidnapped with the Asian boyfriend, which was a made-for-TV movie. She's always played the part where she got to kill somebody, she kicking somebody's butt, she cussing somebody out, acrimony. She killed somebody, cussing somebody out. Empire. Killing somebody out. She's stuck in that role. Now, Octavia has played the rich woman, the poor woman. She's playing this serial killer on Ma. She played the maid on The Help. She was the social worker in Losing Isaiah. She did a whole lot.
Yeah.
I think she would be better as a host of her own TV show. Only thing off, you know, I would like to suggest that she go get one of those epilades and get that little bit of hair off your lip. You know, that's how signature look, I guess. But, you know, that little bit of hair, at first I thought it was the makeup, but then I said, oh, no, it's always there. But I had a neighbor who she had a full mustache, so maybe she feels as though she's not going to shave it or cut it off because it's part of hers, natural hair growth or something. But yeah, definitely. May the 30th, that's when it comes out. If you are a Stubbs member and you have a sneak peek pass, your first 50 tickets, sneak peek pass for the 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. That's May the 29th. So that's Wednesday. But this is after Memorial Day. Don't worry about nothing right now. Go get your cookout going and go get your eat on, and then make sure you go see Ma. Written by the same person that wrote Get Out. What's his name? You know the guy's name. The comedian.
Jordan Peele.
Yeah, good guy. He's done a good job. I think what happened when he did the Us, I think he got cocky and felt like, if they like that one, let me pull something from the top of my head. And it was a mess as far as I'm concerned. But I guess everybody else liked it. A lot of people said, oh, it was scary. Oh, I got scared. I looked at it for the sheer excitement of getting scared. I said, what in the world am I watching? Don't do this no more. And I went to Twitter and I said, Dear Jordan Peele, or at Jordan Field, whatever. Where's the scary part? Question mark. That was it. It was more scary part with the Get Out than it was with this the people that came out of the mirror and took the people's places. That I ain't like it. So now we back on board with something on the same level as Get Out. Because you can look at us and see it was a last minute just thrown together with the little change you got in your pocket type of a thing. Two scenes, three settings, and it was, I don't think this no more. It's like the little bit of rice that's left over in the pot, you just add some water to it and call it a meal. No, put some work, put some effort into it. Give it some consistency. So Ma will be worth the dollar when you go see it. And he's very political. So once you watch it and see it, I'll tell you the political side of things. Hint is, look at the color of the people that she's befriending and look at the color of the people who don't know who she is. And that's a hint to the political style of good stuff. That's all you need to know. What's going on for Monday, Green? No. No. Not the baby. No. That's not for Monday.
Hello?
Okay, folks. What's going on for Monday? We have we have Craig Smalley, which will be our guest at the Hot Seat Memorial Day, to discuss about accounting, how you can save money, how you can claim your losses as a gain, how to save on your IRS taxes, and even how to prepare your IRA, the IRA, and your retirement plan, CDs and things of that nature. So it's very important to keep all your receipts, which he'll let you know, hold your receipts for 5 years because things can change. Just because you file your receipts on 1 year does not mean you can't refile them again because it'll relapse. And they'll tell you, because the tax system has an overlap when they charge you, you can file based on the date again. Because you know tax season goes from January of this year all the way around to April of the following year. So it overlaps January, February, March, and April. So those same 4 months that you filed for the previous, you file again. And it'll tell you why and how and all of those fantastic details on the 27th. So remember, there's no show Saturday and Sunday, just the reruns will be playing. Special shout out to the callers that called in. Thank you for calling in. I think her name was Mary Jane. And Jean Phillips, of course. And the three callers that could not wait, we apologize, but we'll get to you next time. So we're glad we had this time together to have a laugh and sing a song. We just got started, and before you know it comes the time, we got to say so long. Say so long, Aaron Green.
So long, everybody. Happy Friday.
And happy Memorial Day to everybody. We'll see you on Monday, 7 p.m. sharp. That's our show, folks. So good night. Talking Live, brought to you in part by Blog Talk Radio.